This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. When a collector brings an old Confederate banknote into a blueprint shop for enlarging, an employee puts a magnifying glass to the money. What he sees is shocking, and it leads him on an artistic quest researching how slavery is forever engraved on Southern currency from the mid-19th century. Now, more than a decade later, that employee, artist John W. Jones, has painted dozens of images directly inspired by the tiny depictions on these Confederate banknotes. His exhibition, Confederate Currency, The Color of Money, is now on display at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. John W. Jones and Freedom Center Manager of Program Initiatives, Christopher Miller, recently spoke with Dan Hurley about the exhibit.
John Jones, Chris Miller, really good to have you here today on Cincinnati Edition. John, tell me a little bit, what first drew your attention to the images on Confederate currency? I mean, you know, how many people know about Confederate currency, have an occasion to really look at it carefully? What sparked your interest in this?
Well, about 20-some years ago, about 22 years ago, I guess, I had moved back to my home state, Columbia, South Carolina. I was working at the University of South Carolina for about 5 years. And then I got married and moved to Somerville, South Carolina. And my wife said to me, well, son, you got to get a job. So I ended up working in a blueprint company as a promoter of large format printers and plotters and things like that. And I was helping to sell them and as well as do some graphics work. And a customer of mine brought one of the notes into me and asked me to scan it into the computer and enlarge it. When I did so, that's when I noticed that there were slaves on this currency. And it's one of those little moments in your life where you say, what's this all about? So I start doing an investigation to see how many more such notes like that I could find. And I found well over 200 such notes so far. And I painted about 160 or 70 paintings based on what I found on the Confederate currency.
What does it say to you that the states of the Confederacy, and I think we should point out that these notes are state-based. The Confederacy itself wasn't issuing notes, but various states and then local banks were issuing these notes. What does it say to you that the states of the Confederacy so prominently put enslaved people on their currency?
Well, actually, the Confederate government itself was also issuing currency as well as banks, railroad companies, timber companies, and even individuals at some point. But the overall meaning of why these images were being put on the currency is because, particularly after Harriet Beecher Stowe published a novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin, which was a very scathing denunciation of the slave trade, the South decided they needed to do something to counteract that or to evoke a public sympathy from the North about slaves. That's why in these images you don't see anything about the negative side of slavery in any of them. You only see the positive side that the South and the Confederacy wanted to convey because they were trying to use these images as propaganda.
And in one sense, I think it's propaganda vis-a-vis the North, but it's also, it struck me as I look at these, it's also propaganda convincing themselves that they're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Chris, I would say, too, if you don't mind, that it also speaks to the economic power of slavery during that time period, because it played a significant role in the economic structure of the South, actually for the entire country. So I think that is very significant as well aspect of having these images on the banknotes.
Yeah, having them on money because the value of the investment that slave owners had and what slavery produced for them was incredible. Chris Miller, why is the Freedom Center, and I need to say right now that I've spent the last year at the Freedom Center as the interim president, so as we were preparing for this exhibit, but why is the Freedom Center interested in this particular exhibit?
Well, we've actually we've been considering bringing this exhibit here for quite some time, to be quite honest with you, especially with all the conversation when it comes to Confederate monuments, when it comes to the conversation of looking back at Confederate history, just in general. We thought that this was an aspect that wasn't being discussed and talked about in regards to the Confederate currency, its impact, the ideas of why these images were placed onto the money, but also draw that connection between enslavement and the role that it played in economics. And so with this exhibit, we're able to have a broad conversation about many things related to that part of American history.
So that the fact that this whole question of the identity of the Confederacy and what it stood for has sort of exploded socially in the past 6 to 8 months makes this very timely for it to be here in the North.
Absolutely. And it's an opportunity for us to, for some to re-educate themselves, but some for some to be more aware of exactly what is truth and what is myth when it becomes when we talk about Confederate states.
John, what is interesting to me is it's not just that there's a lot of Confederate currency in this exhibit, but what you have done with it. You have used those images on Confederate currency to you've been inspired to turn them into large, colorful pieces of art. And talk to me a little bit about why you decided to use this as the basis for a whole family of art that you've created.
Well, I had to use a lot of color to bring these things back to life in order to extract from the dehumanizing engravings the essential value of the people that are on these currency. And I used a lot of color just sort of innocuously draw people in and free them up to discuss the very difficult subject of slavery without the fear of censorship. And that's basically why I use a lot of color in these paintings. And they attract people to them. And I think that has helped the exhibition carry forward.
As you translated them from monochrome images into color, much larger color images, were you trying to replicate what you exactly saw there, or were you using what you saw but then interpreting them in a new way for yourself?
No, my goal was to recreate them exactly as I saw them on the currency so that people could actually see what I was seeing. And I felt that was the only way to do that was to recreate them exactly as I saw them on the currency without revision, because this is not revisionist history. This is something that was actually on these currencies. I didn't put it there. It's been there for more than 150 years, and I wanted people to see what I was seeing.
Well, you know, one of the things that I found interesting was the figure of the Roman slave goddess of – or the Roman goddess of money, Moneteia. When you rendered that image, and she's holding cotton, she's holding a little branch of cotton balls, you have her pictured as a mixed-race person. And that isn't clear on the Confederate money itself.
Yes, and that one, a lot of people say that looks like my daughter on there, but I'd never tell.
Here's the important question. What does your daughter say? Does she say it looks like her?
She made no comment on it.
Okay, all right.
But on that particular one, I was trying to show the exploitation of the female slaves because they were being used as to reproduce more slaves, and as well as being raped and what have you. So I was trying to make that connection with that particular woman on that one.
You know, one of the things I noticed as taking a look at these, they give you an incredible sense of all of the different processes, particularly in agriculture, although there's some manufacturing images, but mostly in agriculture. And yes, it's about slaves in agriculture, but you can learn a lot about just what people were doing in the mid-19th century in terms of growing, in terms of farming and agriculture in general. And I think they're really interesting studies in their own right, even aside from just the question of enslavement.
Absolutely, I think so. See, when I paint these slave engravings, I see the strong and indomitable character of the slaves and the will to survive and to carry on the qualities that they brought with them from Africa in the form of music, religion, storytelling, art, agriculture, architecture, and culinary traditions. And all of these things played into the images that we find on these old notes. And yes, they do represent a period of life. That's true because the engravers at the time were sort of like modern day photojournalists. They were recording what they were seeing at the time in forms of painting because photography was in its infancy during that time. But a lot of the artists were actually recording exactly what they were seeing.
These same sort of images could have ended up in one of the illustrated magazines that were sure. very popular at the time. I mean, one of the things that strikes me, Chris, maybe you've noticed this too, that what's dominant, you know, in terms of the numbers and different aspects is the relationship of slavery and slave people and cotton. Mm-hmm. I mean, cotton seems to be sort of the activity, the part of the economy that everything comes back to.
Absolutely. I mean, during this time period, cotton was referred to as king cotton just because of how it was produced. With the invention of the cotton gin, enabled to process it much faster, it also increased the economy. To states like our neighboring state to the south, Kentucky, what was prevalent as far as in Kentucky was hemp. And hemp was very important as well in conjunction with cotton because hemp was used for the bagging and roping for cotton as that was being produced. So as the cotton industry grew, so did the need for hemp and used in that fashion. And so it was almost like an domino effect with other crops. But you have tobacco, you have indigo, you have farms that were just growing corn and wheat and so forth. And many of that the land and the labor was done by those who were enslaved. And so cotton played a very significant role in the economic fabric of the country.
You know, in terms of things that weren't directly related to cotton, there's sugar cane and yep. all that process is a really difficult crop to harvest and turn into sugar. But a couple of them, one of them, John, is harvesting turpentine. Another one from Kentucky, by the way, is just on a individual farm, butchering a hog, which any farmer would have done. Are there ones that particularly, you know, you felt like you really connected to and that you, looking back on this project, you really stay, you always come back to a particular set of images?
Yeah, well, particularly the one with butchering hogs, because I've done that before.
Okay.
Back in the 60s, a long time ago. but I've done that before. What they do is they hang the hog up there after they put him in that big barrel of hot water to scald all his hair off, and then they put him up there and scrape the hair off, and then, of course, they begin to disassemble the hog. And the whole, it was a whole community activity. And of course, they had their little drinks out there with them, and it was something that they did on the weekend. And everybody shared in the chitlins and the hog head cheese and pig feet and all of that stuff. So there was a lot of that going on, and perhaps still goes on in some places today.
Well, that's very significant just with the city of Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
One of our many nicknames here in the city of Cincinnati is Porkopolis, just because of the slaughterhouses that were prevalent here in the city. And as far as with the hogs being slaughtered and the meat being taken from them and so forth, many farmers in Kentucky would actually bring that the hogs and so forth over to Kentucky for that purpose.
Well, just as Chris was mentioning that cotton stimulated a hemp industry in Kentucky, Cincinnatians should remember that Porkopolis, which we'd love to remember because it sounds funny at this point, but about a third of that pork pack every year went to the South because people were not spending their time raising enough food crops because the market crops of cotton, particularly, so the cotton frontier, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, those, the enslaved people there were really put to work focused on the market crop, and they were importing things that they needed, and pork happened to be one of those, very cheap cuts of pork usually that were going south.
But I think that's important to understand that although that the continent is mostly regulated to the South, the entire country was benefiting from, this industry. And so we must be very have that understanding, especially when we talk about the agriculture and all the whether if it's distillery plantations or farms, or if you're talking about rice plantations and farms as well. There's plenty of agriculture and many industries that were going on during that time that the entire country benefited from.
So John Jones, the artist, is illustrator, where are you personally with this project? Have you finished this series of paintings in your life, or are you now focused on something else, or is this something you occasionally come back to and find something else that you want to paint?
No, actually, I'm still painting some of the Color Money pieces. We did two versions of it. We did one version with the currency separated from the painting itself. And when the exhibition was at the Martin Luther King Center in Atlanta, and it was done after about 6 months, and occasionally I would go down there and talk to some of the people, and I would ask them, did they understand what was going on with the paintings? And most of them said, no, not really. You see the money separated, you see the money here, and then they see the painting, but they didn't make that connection that these images were actually from the money. So the second version of this, I actually put the money on the canvas itself so that they were sure to understand that that's where the image came from. And so I've actually did two versions of this, one with the money and one without the money.
I think that that version with the money, where there's in effect, a dialogue created between the historic artifact and your modern paintings, is the one that really makes this come alive.
Absolutely. I think so, too. It certainly has resonated with some of the people that buy these paintings. They much prefer the ones with the money actually on the painting itself.
Chris Miller, what does the Freedom Center want to accomplish by bringing this in, and how will you do it? What are some of the things that you'll be doing to make use of this exhibit and this opportunity?
Throughout the duration in bringing this here, we want people to be enlightened and more aware of our history, to have a better understanding, in particular with the things we talked about as far as the agriculture, but also going beyond that, the social behavior and the concept, having the understanding that these images, there was a motive for having these images on the money, but also making sure that there's a connection when it talks about economics. And then going deeper than that are the individuals that are depicted on the money. These are not just enslaved people, but they are fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, brothers and sisters, and they were a commodity. They were just as much as a commodity as the very crop that they were you know, toiling within the soil. And so it's for us to have that complex and deep conversations. And so we hope to create further insight, but also to incite some deeper thought when it comes to when we talk about slavery.
Okay. John Jones, one last question. In one of the images that sort of I found particularly haunting was Admiring Their Slaves is the title of it. It's two white Southern owners looking down on a field which is being worked by enslaved people. There's just something about that image that I found very sort of stops you in your tracks and makes you want to think about human relationships.
Yes, that one is a very interesting one, and a lot of people have commented on that one, but that's essentially the way it was back in those days. I'm looking at a painting that I've done now. There's this guy sitting on a horse or a mule with a gun in his hand while the people out here cutting sugar cane. There are a couple of images that are similar to that, but those ones that are standing there just admiring their slave, because it was property.
Right.
And they were proud of their property.
Yeah. They were admiring their property.
Yes.
In the 21st century, that should really grate on our ears. Well, I want to thank John Jones, an artist and illustrator who has really put together this exhibit called Confederate Currency, The Color of Money, and Chris Miller from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center, who is the program manager and will be making use of this exhibit. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for having us.
The exhibition, Confederate Currency, The Color of Money, is on display now through July 13th at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. More information is available on our website, wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Assistant producer, Selena Reeder. Our technical director was Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley.